Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the Lord tells us that His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. So the Lord's eyes run to and fro, He reveals to us here, throughout the whole earth. And what's He looking for? He's looking to show Himself strong in the behalf of who? Them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Now, I've got good news for you as well as myself. He didn't say whose performance is perfect, but whose heart is perfect before Him. So we all have things in our past that we're not proud of, that we're not of God, that we're totally wrong and we're of us, not Him. But if our heart is perfect toward Him presently, God is going to find us as His eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when God looks in the earth, I believe what this is telling us is that He is looking for someone to show Himself strong, not only on the behalf of, but through. I believe that when God, figuratively speaking, looks down into His utensil drawer, He's looking for someone or a specific utensil to use for the specific work or job that He needs done. When God looks down into His utensil drawer, what does He see as far as you are
concerned?
When you are getting ready to eat a steak, you walk over to the utensil drawer and you're looking for a specific what? Knife, two utensils in particular. You're not looking for a spoon, are you? No, you're looking for a fork. You're not looking for a butter knife, are you? No, you're looking for a steak knife, a specific utensil for the specific purpose and work that you need done to eat the steak that you're getting ready to eat. I want you to listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, where the Apostle Paul writes, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Let me read it again. I love this verse, 2 Timothy 2:21. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use." Are you fit for the master's use, my friend? Are you meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work? Let me ask you, friend, are you being prepared today for that greater work that the Lord would do through you in the days to come? In the days of Joshua, who was going to take the children of Israel into the promised land, in Joshua 3:5, the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Now, notice, sanctify yourselves, that is today, because what? Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. See, it was only those who were going to obey the Lord and sanctifying themselves today who were going to be ready for the wonders that the Lord was going to do among them tomorrow. You see, God wants you and I preparing to be used of Him, not only being used of Him, humbled before Him today, but being ready to be used in a progressively or perpetually greater fashion tomorrow and the days ahead. God's not just going to use anyone. He's got to find someone who's meet or fit for the master's use, having been prepared unto every good work. Now, let me ask you something, friend. At this stage in your Christian maturity, how is it that you think the Lord truly and honestly can use you? To what degree? I don't know about you, but I want that degree, whatever it might be in my life today, to grow and to be greater. A lot of people want to be used in certain ways and kind of seem to ignore other ways, but I believe we should be open. This is kind of a little bit of a different diversion here. I believe we should be open to the Lord preparing us to be used in a myriad of ways. And from there, I'd like to say, do you desire to have the answer of God? You see, the Bible says to be ready always to give an answer to those who ask you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. So what kind of answer would you like to have, and how much, how wide, how broad of a spectrum of answers would you like to have for God to be able to use you to give His answer to those who come into your life that He gives you opportunity to minister to? I don't know about you. I want to have scripture verses on every central major subject in the Bible for whatever comes up. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would bring all these things into remembrance to us, even the things He's taught us. And so what's key is to make sure you're being taught everything in the Word of God, especially every foundational doctrinal truth of Scripture. I can't read through Proverbs without realizing every few verses that, wow, I'm going to need this. I need this answer of truth in myself, but also somebody is going to need this answer. And sure enough, as God would have it, you see, it's God quickening you to memorize those scriptures and to capture them on an index card with the reference. He's quickening you to do it. He quickens me to do it. And then He knows and foresees and is already in the future. And He brings someone that you can help with that very verse. I cannot tell you how invaluable, how priceless it is to memorize scripture, and how God will use those scriptures soon after you memorize them many times and on a continual basis for the rest of your life. Now, there are scriptures even this week that I've been blessed to give people that I memorized many, many years ago. I've got probably thousands of index cards that I have organized and kept, and I get to go back through. Some of you also have the same. And some of these things I was thinking recently have been written, wow, 20-something years ago. They're still here for me to learn, to feed on, and to refresh my memory and mind and heart with those biblical divine truths, and not only to refresh my own spirit, but also to be armed and dangerous, to be ready with those scriptures to give to others, to help them. That's why we're here on this earth, is to be ministers of reconciliation and restoration. And in memorizing the Word of God, we have the very thoughts of the heart of God. Psalm chapter 33:11 says, the counsel, that's the Word of God, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. It's eternal. It's always living and fresh and vital and divine and totally powerful. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart, the very thoughts of His heart. That's what we have in the Word of God. To all generations. See, the Word of God is the very thoughts of the Lord's heart. And we are to bind up the testimony, to seal the law of the Word of God among my disciples, the Lord says in Isaiah 8:16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law, the Word of God among my disciples. By the way, that was Isaiah 8:16. I love Psalm chapter 19, verse 10 and 11. More to be desired, he's speaking of literally the written Word of God, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. See, friend, do you desire the Word of God more than you do trying to make more money? That's related here to gold. Is making money and getting the bigger house and the bigger car and, you know, serving money because of what money can give you, is that more important to you than learning the Word of God? You must ask yourself that probing question, and I pray that God would help you to have an honest and humble heart and to sort that out and examine your life before the Lord. More to be desired are they, that's the words of God, than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, that is by the words of God, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. notice that in the words of God, we have the warnings of God so that we're not caught off guard at the hour of our death, and that may be today. We're not caught off guard if Christ returns today because we're waiting and we're ready like the five wise virgins. See, those who stay in the Word continually stay warned, continually stay ignited with the fear of the Lord in their spirit, waiting and watching and keeping their lamp trimmed, keeping the oil of the presence of God in their vessel, in their life, in their mind, in their heart, in their body, to be ready for the Lord's return. And in keeping of them, there is great reward, not only now, but forever. There is great reward. Money can't buy you. Gold can't buy you the blessedness of being in the Word of God and obeying the words of the Lord. The Word of the Lord is our treasure. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the whole Bible. And guess what? Every single, without exception, every single verse in that chapter, Psalm 119, is about one thing, and that is the what? The written Word of God. In fact, Psalm 119, 105 says that thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We were speaking earlier about how Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would bring back to remembrance whatsoever he has taught us already. And so we got to ask ourselves what we are allowing him and engaging in the Word of God to be taught by the Holy Spirit today. Notice John 16, verse 13 and 14. Howbeit, Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he receives of the Father and shows it unto us. Now notice John 14, 26, Jesus says, but the Comforter, capital C, the Holy Spirit, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, what has God thus far said unto you through his word? That's what you got to ask yourself. By your diligent study of his word, as you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, inasmuch as you have studied the word of God to that proportion, can the Holy Spirit bring those things back into your remembrance? If you haven't studied it, then the Holy Spirit has nothing to work with. God and expects and requires your participation, your involvement. And let me ask you, friend, what's more important to you, playing games on the internet, watching TV, or learning the word of the Lord? How long shall you put off the learning of the words of God? I don't know about you, but I'm not. This day, I'm memorizing Scripture. I'm not going to let a day go by without being engaged in the study of the Word of God. And nothing is more enriching to your spirit as you're prepared by the Lord today. You're being prepared. You're rich in the Word of God. You're being set apart as a vessel unto honor, sanctified. You're set apart. You're meet for the Master's use. You're being prepared unto every good work. And the way to do that is to learn the Word of God so that you are being ready. You are ready to give an answer. You're sanctified by the Lord, and you're ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's 1 Peter 3:15. I mentioned it earlier, and let me read it to you. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And how do you do that? Well, you get in the Word. You stay in the Word. You obey the Word of God. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Are you ready? How ready are you? Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Hallelujah. So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and you do that by the Word of God, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and godly, or with fear, with meekness and fear. David, the psalmist, said something similar in Psalm 119, verse 42, when he said, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." He's specifically speaking about those who not are asking him about the things of God in this life in a delightful manner and an honest inquiry, but those that reproach him. He said he'll have an answer for them. He'll know what to answer them because he trusts in the word of God. He's learning. He knows. He memorizes. He meditates upon the word of God day and night. So we have two instances here in scripture, one in Psalm 119, verse 42, in 1 Peter 3:15, where we're learning that the answer of God is going to come to us through the Word of God as we lay up the words of God in our heart. We retain His words, Proverbs 4:4, "Let thine heart retain my words," and to the degree that we do such, to that degree is God going to find us to be a vessel of honor and be able to give an answer to people regardless of whether or not they're asking a reason of the hope that is in us, 1 Peter 3:15, or whether or not they are actually reproaching us or attacking us. You will recall Psalm chapter 1, where the psalmist speaks of the blessed godly man in comparison to the ungodly man. And he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." I'm amazed at how many people who call themselves Christians are engaged in receiving and living by and even giving ear to the ungodly. I mean, there's people that call themselves Christians and go to non-Christian counselors and pay them money to fill their minds with filth. You got to be kidding me. That is absolutely horrendous. You got to be kidding me. You have the counsel of the Lord Almighty and all 66 books whereby He gave us and gives us all things, not some things, that pertain unto life and godliness. There's nothing that can happen in life that is not given to us in the Word of God. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the Word of God. Well, somebody years ago, an engineer, when I worked contracted to NASA, said, "Well, science and math isn't in the Bible." And well, I said, "Well, the Bible says all things that pertain unto life and godliness, or being godly and following God's will in this life, are found in the Word of God." Not necessarily every specific about science and math. He tried to throw me a curveball, but that's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight," the godly man's delight, "is where? It's in the law," the word of the Lord, "and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Friend, are you meditating in the word of God day and night? Are you learning of the Lord? The only way to do that is to learn the word of God, learn the words of God, and to have them to be fitted in your mouth and to have them in your mind to meditate upon. I want you to write down and begin to memorize some of these verses that we're going over today. In fact, I love Joshua 1:8. I memorized it a number of years ago and have been extremely blessed to have it richly feed my spirit and soul every day since, and also to share with others. It says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law," that is the word of God, "shall not depart out of thy mouth." We should have the word of God coming out of our mouth, not church history or any other foolish tradition of mere men, but the words of God. You see, you can get something people don't even get by spending a few a few hundred thousand dollars to go get a seminary degree where they don't even learn the Word of God, and their faith is built on what men say of the Word of God throughout church history instead of the literal Word of God. And I know many of them who are pastors today, and they don't have a good foundation at all. In fact, I wonder if some of them are saved. I really doubt that many of them are, to be honest with you. After having a long conversation with them, they cite church history, church fathers. They don't cite the Word of God. They're not walking in the apostles' doctrine, the New Testament revelation, which comes from the Holy Scriptures, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus, His teachings, and the teachings that He gave His apostles. That is the apostles' doctrine, hallelujah. How many people are excited and joyful and glad that we have the books of the New Testament and the Old Testament in writing so that we can walk, letting them walk with the Lord, letting them and them alone be the final authority of our lives and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Hallelujah. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, that's the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When are you going to make that way, your way prosperous in the Lord and have good success? It's going to be when you speak the words of God. You don't let them depart out of thy mouth, and you meditate therein day and night. And let me tell you, beloved, you cannot meditate on the word of God if you're not memorizing it, you're not learning it, you're not feeding upon the word of God. You must choose to fear the Lord and to meditate upon his word. I love Psalm 119 as we wind down here, friend. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's a prayer of David. Order my steps in thy word. That's what we ought to be doing, praying, Lord, order my steps in thy word. As we learn the word of God, do your part. Learn of him. Learn his words. Let thine heart retain my word, Proverbs 4:4, retain, memorize. So order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You see, your steps are going to be ordered out of the word of God, beloved. Let's finish with this passage in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17 through 21. Proverbs, I love this verse. You're going to love this if you don't know it already. Proverbs chapter 22, beginning in verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known unto thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth? That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send or come unto thee? Hallelujah. This is so rich, I couldn't even begin to scratch the surface of all the platinum divine truth that is in this little passage. Absolutely wonderful. But let's take a little shot at it here. Verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Bow down your ear. Search it out. That gives you the figurative picture of seeking out, studying to show yourself approved. And let me just tell you up front, it's hard work, but it's so very rewarding. So very rewarding. And it's the only way that you're going to grow in the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it's going to identify you as an idolater because you've got time, energy, money, and everything else God gave you on this earth to go run after the things of this world, yet you don't have time to search the scriptures. Wow. The Berean believers search the scriptures daily. Hallelujah, to see whether or not those things Paul was saying were truth. You're not going to have anything to compare the doctrines of men to if you don't know the word of God. You're going to be deceived and fall away. You're also not going to have the life of Christ in you, filling you daily as you abide in him, keeping that vessel full so that you're like the wise virgins who stayed in communion with the Lord and were ready when he opened the door. And, you know, the five foolish virgins were not ready. The door was shut on them. This is vital to your life. Man shall not live or have spiritual life by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God gives you the life of God. It's your spiritual food. Jesus said these words are spirit and they are life. The apostle Peter wrote, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. You're not growing if you're not feasting on the word of God. You've got to feed your spirit on the word of God by studying, reading, memorizing, meditating upon, and learning the word of God today. There is no better day than today. If you're putting it off, it's because you're counting the Lord to be a second-class citizen in your life. In other words, you're an idolater who has found other things in this life to be more interesting than God, and he's going to reward you with eternal damnation in the end if you don't repent and amend your ways. He's going to give you your wish and say, you didn't want to commune and abide with me on earth. I'll give you your desire for eternity. Depart from me. You were worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Those who aren't learning the Word of God, somehow vainly supposing that their church attendance or church membership replaces the denial of self, the daily cross, the taking up the cross and following Christ every day and learning the Word of God, they're completely deceived. These are idolaters, friend. They're idolaters. If that's you, I want to encourage you. I want to call you by the Word of the Lord to repent today and return to the Lord, because you've already backslidden. If you're not feasting on the Word of God, you're already backslidden. There is no neutral position in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Verse 18, Proverbs 22, as we finalize our segment here today. "For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them," the words of God, "within thee." Keep the Word of God in your heart. Keep them flowing into your life. "And the entrance of thy words giveth light." The light of God must flood your soul and your spirit daily through the Word of God going into your mind and your heart to illuminate you with the life of Christ and the light of Christ, who is the light of the world. "For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee." Keep them within thee. Not here and there, but every day continually. "They shall withal be fitted in thy lips." See, the words of God are going to flow from your lips when you get them in you. If you get in the Word of God, the Word of God will get in you, and you will learn it, and you'll know it, and you'll be ready to be a spokesman for the Lord to give His truth to other people verbatim. God told Ezekiel, "Speak with my words unto them," not your words, not church history's words, not the words of some so-called church father, but by the words of those holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. That's how we got the Holy Scriptures. Holy men of God. Quote, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Again, 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21. I think that might be the best place for you to start memorizing and studying and prayerfully pouring over today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. "So the words of God are going to be fitted in thy lips if you keep them within thee every day continually." Verse 19, "that thy trust or thy faith may be in the Lord." You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see how vital the Word of God is to be flowing into your life, for you to be studying, to be mining out gold and platinum treasures out of the Word of God daily, in the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord that are given us for all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Again, that goes back to 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, the same chapter I just mentioned. "That thy trust or thy faith may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee." In other words, "I've given you my word," the Lord says here, "so that your trust will be in Him." If you're not in the Word, your trust is not in the Lord. It's in something else. And you've got idolatry in your heart. And something has unseated Christ from the throne of your heart. Because it's Christ that's magnified and revealed in the Word of God. Jesus told us that very clearly when He said, "Search the Scriptures." And He says, "They are they which testify of me." But then He tells the Pharisees, the religionists of His day, "But you won't come to me. And there's many of you listening to me that you won't come to the Lord in His word," even though He's revealed in His word. And that would mean you're outside of His kingdom. "Have not I written to thee excellent things?" The Word of God has nothing but excellent things and counsels and knowledge. Why? "That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth." I don't know about you, but it's a little bit uncomfortable, as God would have it, to not know the certainty of the words of truth. But you can know them. That's why He gave us His word. And that's what He's saying here exactly. "That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Also, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee." In other words, you'll have the answer, my answer, to those who you come into contact with, or who I bring before you, or who come to you for the answers. God bless you, my friend. I hope this inspires you to stop what you're doing, to repent, to return to the Lord, and to embark on a deep study, a daily, perpetual study of the words of the Lord, the Holy Scriptures. God bless you, friend, and please feel free to avail yourself to safeguardyoursoul.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.